Everything hurt. My head, neck, arms, hands, pelvis, and knees. The body that tackled me straddled my back, pushing my face farther into the gravel as he leaned down and put his mouth near my ear. His breath smelled like garlic and made me want to throw up. Bile came up my throat, and I clenched my eyes tightly shut.
"You shouldn't walk alone at night. Someone could really hurt you,"
the man said. The breath stalled in my lungs, and all I could get out was a small whimper. The man's legs and one arm held me tight as he snuck his hand down between us.
"Nothing to say, bitch. No matter. I don't want you to talk anyway."
I heard his belt buckle clink as he released it, then the rasp of a zipper as he pulled it down. Fear exploded in me, and I clenched my hands. As I tightened my right hand, it reminded me that I still had my phone. A shot of adrenaline coursed through my veins. I was amazed I had been able to hang on to it through the struggle. Doing some quick thinking, I held the button on the side of the phone and screamed, "Gabriel!" loudly, and prayed that my auto dial worked. Then I shoved it underneath my thigh, hoping against hope that he didn't see it. Fetid breath invaded my nostrils, and my stomach revolted once again.
"Isn't that an angel? I'm no angel, bitch."
Please don't hurt me. Please, I said to him. "I can go back into the gym and get you some money, or we can get in my car and I can take you to the ATM and get cash out for you. There's my car right there, in the corner where it says AT parking only." I tried to give Gabriel as much information as I could about my whereabouts without being too obvious about it. I hoped that he was on the line and was able to hear me, even though my phone was under my legs.
"Shut up, bitch, or this will be worse in the long run,"
my attacker said. With that statement, my bravado fled, and I started sobbing. My attacker must not have liked criers, because he hit me in the temple with his meaty fist, and everything went black.
Gabe. I had the impact wrench in my hand, unfastening some bolts on the exhaust manifold of a 78 Roadster when my phone rang. I grabbed the red rag out of my back pocket and wiped my hands before I retrieved it from my pocket. A smile broke out over my face when I saw who was calling. I hit the accept button on my phone and said, "Decided not to be stubborn anymore and talk to me?" Harsh breathing, the occasional scuffle of rocks and grunting broke the silence of the line, and my demeanor instantly changed. I dropped my rag, the wrench, and shot up from my crouched position. My heart was pounding so hard I could almost hear it. Jack stood from his stool with a questioning look, but I didn't stop to explain. At a jog, I turned and headed into the office from the main garage. Sam and Max were sharing a beer, laughing when I barreled inside. Suddenly, they were alert and ready, knowing something was wrong just by the look on my face. Holding my finger up to my lips, I put the phone on speaker and held up my hand so everyone could hear what was going on at the other end of the line.
"Please, don't hurt me, please," she said. "I can go back into the gym and get you some money, or we can get my car and I can take you to the ATM and get cash out for you. That's my car right there, in the corner where it says AT parking only."
When Max heard Ember's voice, he bolted from his chair, hit the keyboard with a thump, and started typing away. He pulled up her cell phone position as Sam was busy on the phone with Kilgore PD, giving them the details that Ember had just relayed.
"Shut up, bitch, or this will be worse in the long run," a low male voice said.
Ember must have lost the battle with her emotions because gut-wrenching sobs came through the speaker and a sick knot of fear lodged in the pit of my belly. Ember's attacker started hitting her then, and we could hear each sickening thud.
"Oh, yeah. You like that, baby?" the attacker asked.
Bile rose in my throat, and I could no longer stay put. I ran out to the truck I'd just purchased, hopped inside, and slammed the door. The sound of tires spinning on the pavement and the smell of burnt rubber did nothing to my senses. Everything in my being was focused on the phone and what I was hearing. The phone hooked up through my Bluetooth, and I could hear the sound of grunting and the sounds of flesh meeting flesh. I prayed that nothing was as bad as I was imagining it and that she was going to be all right. I arrived at the college within 5 minutes, but was still beat there by dozens of police cars. Police cruisers were parked haphazardly in all directions. Getting as close as I could before parking and getting out, I sprinted toward the group of people outside.